Okay, Acts chapter 10. 2 Timothy 2. Acts chapter 10. And the way things are going, I was kind of afraid to sit in that chair. Afraid that thing was going to go out. I worked in a church in Colorado Springs for a couple years after I got out of school, and they had their church. They had what was called a gymatorium, where they didn't have an auditorium per se. They had, it was a gymnasium and a carpet, and then they bring in folding chairs. And the assistant pastor, if there was a twin of Dan Blocker, the Hoss on a Bonanza, this guy was him. And he always kind of told me he's going to go on a diet and get down to 300. I never believed him. So he's around 400. Sitting in them folding chairs, I don't know how many chairs I saw him break in church. But they would never fall flat. You know, they'd break and they'd go to the side, and then and he'd be sitting like this the rest of the service, you know, on the edge of the chair. I'd just sit behind him and laugh. But I was kind of afraid of that chair. Okay, Acts 10, verse 34. Acts 10, verse 34. Okay, this is quite a story. This is an Italian who has been praying. He's been probably going to early Mass, late Mass, you know, middle Mass, all this Mass. And God hears his prayer, and he says, hey, guess what? I'm going to have the first pope come talk to you. And he got a hold of Peter, and Peter's supposed to come talk to him. And, of course, the typical thing, the Italian bowed down and worshipped him. You'll see that in verse 25, 26. And so, and then in verse 34 is what the Lord told, or what Peter is going to tell this man. So that's where we're picking it up. Okay, Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And then 44, the Spirit of God interrupted it. Okay, and then Cornelius believed in what was being said. Okay, so that's 44. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15, famous verse. Okay, changed in every new Bible. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Okay, in Acts 10, verse 34, 35, the word there we're looking at is accepted. Accepted by God. In 2 Timothy 2:15, approved by God. Two separate things. And so let's go and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this, these ideas, help us to rest in the truth of your word, help us to recognize the truths of your word. I pray your spirit would be have liberty in each of our hearts, in each of our lives, and I pray that the word of God would have free course and be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in Acts 10, Cornelius was accepted by God through salvation. In 2 Timothy, Timothy, young fella, was approved by God through his study of the Scriptures. Okay, in Acts chapter 10, Now, this, if anybody's ever asked you this, if you go out and do street work or deal with young college students, state college students, almost always the argument comes up is, what about the heathen that's never heard? Okay, you can just look at them and say, well, you've heard. Don't worry about the heathen. Okay, but even that, that's almost always comes up. Now, Acts 10 gives the answer for that. Okay, what about somebody in Saudi Arabia where they cannot? It is against the laws in Saudi Arabia to have a Protestant church, a Baptist church. It's against the law. You know, we want to be like them? Ha ha. Okay, it's against the law. What about somebody who's raised in that culture? What about somebody who's raised in Afghanistan? What about somebody who's raised in the jungles? What about these people? In Acts chapter 10, he says, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted. He's accepted, okay? He's accepted with him. And here's how this works, okay? One of these people, depending on their upbringing, depending on what they was raised, if that person within their conscience has a fear, there's a God, and has a fear towards God. They've never heard of the name Jesus Christ. They've never heard of that. They have a fear towards God, and in their conscience, they know that they violated their conscience. They know there's a law. They know that there's justice, and they know that they could not have evolved from a worm, from a maggot, or from something. They know that. Every evolutionist, every last one of them is a hypocrite. Every one of them. Okay, so a person in their heart knows that. So what God does is he moves their heart to get them in the right place where he wants them. And then he speaks or moves to one of his children, a believer, to say, hey, I want you to go here, go talk to this guy. In this case, it was Cornelius that God said, you need to go talk to Peter. He got a hold of Peter and said, you need to go talk to Cornelius. Got them together. Cornelius heard the gospel. Cornelius got saved. He was a religious man, but he was a lost man. As a religious man, he was following his conscience. And God got a hold of Peter. Peter did what he was supposed to do, went and talked to Cornelius. Cornelius heard the gospel, and he got saved. Now, the question is, what if Peter would not have listened? Well, then he would have found somebody else. He would have got somebody else. If that one wouldn't have, he would have got somebody else. If they wouldn't listen, he would have got a literature to that person. You see, how? Who knows how? There's been people that studied the ocean currents and threw off tracks in a bottle, and they thought the current would take it to Cuba because they couldn't get to Cuba. This guy named Tom White did this, and then he was concerned, it's not even working, so he decided to rent an airplane, and he flew over Cuba and threw out all the tracks, and lo and behold, his plane went down in Cuba. And they arrested him, threw him in jail. While he's in jail, one of the prisoners said, look what I found on the beach. It was this bottle and had this literature in here. Okay, and then eventually he got out and came to, you know, back to America. But you see, that's how God works. And you say, what if he can't get man or a woman or a child, or what if he can't do that? I suppose he'd send an angel in those cultures. A guy shows up, 33 years old, it's a man, young man, they don't know he's an angel. And he gets the gospel to the guy, or at least he gets something to him. I don't know. That's how he's done some things in the past. He got a message that way. But in other words, when a man wants to know God, God makes himself known to him. Cornelius is that example. Now notice, Cornelius was accepted. Now this idea of being accepted. Everybody has beating in their heart, you know, they want to be accepted, they want to be wanted, they want to be loved. Okay, everybody's got that in their heart. And God has that. God wants to be wanted. And that's why he's created a whole program with the devil and everything, because he's trying to figure out who really wants him. And so this desire of wanting to be wanted or to be accepted is the reason why peer pressure works. Peer pressure works because people want to be accepted. Now, in my day and age, you know, I was going through high school. If a boy had an earring, the question was, are you queer? That's what we asked. Back in them days, it wasn't politically correct, you know, gay and all that stuff. So that's just an argument. Now, today, anything goes, and the more wild you look, the more you're accepted. Why do they do that? You know, because people want to be accepted. A kid, you know, a kid when he was small, he you know, dreamed of being a unicorn someday, so he got his hair up in a point like this, all these points, and if you see something like that, you're going to look. And then he looks at you and say, what are you looking at? And you say, well, you, of course. Why are you like that? He wants to be accepted. That's why. They want to be accepted. You see, people join a club. They join a lodge. They join a gang. They join a team. They join a fraternity. They join an organization. Why? They want to be accepted by somebody. Kids in Chicago, they don't know who their parents are. Many of them don't know who their dad is. So a gang, they join these gangs. Why? They want to be loved by somebody. When Janet and I worked up at the big church in Hammond, there's a girl that came down. You know, many kids came down from Chicago. One girl, she was in a gang. And with her, she was so faithful and loyal to this gang that if they served pizza for the teenagers, she demanded to see the box. She wanted to make sure that there was no pork in the ingredients for a gang. Why? She wanted to be accepted. And this is why peer pressure works on people. It's because people want to be accepted. You see? And so politicians will sell his mother out to stay accepted in his party. Why? The lifeblood of politics is compromise. That's why these people will compromise the raise the debt ceiling. Of course they're going to do that. I mean, they don't. These guys will compromise. They will sell their mother out for political gain. You see? Why? They want to be accepted by somebody. Why is it that fads and fashions change so much? And why do people go with those things? The reason why they go with those things is they don't want to look different than anybody else. Here we have a culture supposed to be freedom. You're supposed to be unique, and nobody wants to be unique and live under freedom. Why? Because they want to be accepted. You know, the fads and the fashions, the skirts come up, the skirts go down, the skirts come up, the skirts go down. You know, people fill their closets, get a lot of things, and then they change it. Why? And why do people go with that stuff? The desire for acceptance. They want to be accepted by people. Now, approval is something different. Acceptance is like receiving somebody into a club. Approval is choosing a club member to represent the club. In Acts 10, Cornelius was accepted. In 2 Timothy 2, Timothy was approved. He was approved by God to be a representative for God, to represent our God, but not everybody that's accepted is approved. A few years back, there's a football player, you know, quarterback, big money coming in, one of the largest contracts, you had endorsements, you know, Nike and all this stuff, and he did something that wasn't accepted by society. He killed a dog. Dog fighting. Oh, that's bad. Who says it's bad? PETA. Oh, tell them to go fly a kite. PETA says it's bad. Oh, does PETA kill mosquitoes? Does PETA, you know, kill ticks? If a PETA member gets, you know, parasites in his body, is he going to take something to kill the parasite? Oh, come on. Needs to be kind to that endangered species. You know, all that stuff. It's a bunch of hogwash. Now, if he would have killed a child in the womb, he would not have lost his endorsements. Why are they upset with the woman down in Florida? She killed a child after it was born. What about killing a child before it was born? No difference. You see? That's the way society is. Mike Vick lost all this money because somebody said it was bad to kill a dog. Oh, that's terrible. But you can kill a child. We can send people around the world to kill somebody that somebody doesn't like, and they don't think anything of it. You see, why is this? It's just a bunch of hypocrisy. But you see, being accepted, Okay, and to being approved is when somebody is chosen to represent, like an advertiser or an ambassador. Now, the media. Words mean things. The media. Isn't that an interesting term? The media or medium. The witch doctors that's running the press. The media is trying to program. Isn't that funny they call it programs? They're trying to control our minds, trying to change our thinking. And there are three hot topics that the media is trying to cram down your throat and my throat. Three hot ones right now. It's been going on for a few years. Now, I have a radio broadcast down in Podunk, Rensselaer, and I've been on there for several years. And usually the way I run a 30-minute broadcast, I will have like 3 or 4 minutes at the beginning of some newsworthy event that the media is not going to talk about. The three hot topics are sodomy, abortion, and the Muslims. The media is trying to tell you and I that sodomy is acceptable, that abortion is just getting rid of some non-viable tissue, that the Muslim faith is just like Christianity, it's a peaceful faith, you know, you have nothing to worry about, it's fine and hunky-dory, don't let it bother you. That's what they're constantly trying to cram down our throat. That's what they're doing all the time. They're trying to program us. Now, when a society, as a society, group of people, accepts sodomy as, oh, okay, maybe it is an alternative lifestyle, that is a symptom that your society is about shot. It's gone. When a church asks to actually debate the topic of having a pastor who's a sodomite or not, of course, their word is gay, a sodomite or not, that church is so far gone, it's pitiful. You see, that's society. Now, for our culture, I don't blame the sodomites for our problems in our country. The problems in our country and the problems that God says is a cause in this country is not sodomites. They are a symptom. The problem are God's children, the people of God who are not true to His book. Judgment begins at the house of God. And that's where it starts. That's who's to blame for the downfall of this country. Not the politicians. They're a symptom. Not the sodomite. That's a symptom. What's the cause? The cause is God's people who do not spend time on their knees praying. They do not spend time in the Word of God. That's where the cause is. You see? And so, now, the way I handle these things, I would have never thought, you know, that I would have to, when I first thought the idea of witnessing to somebody who's a sodomite, I thought, ooh, I want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. And so Jesus Christ said, you got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And I was down at Purdue, and you can get around this campus. It's a, what do they call it, cheeky thing now? You'd be like, that's the in thing. And so I'm walking down the sidewalk, holding my Bible verse, getting ready to hold my Bible verse sign at a street corner or something, and this young fellow's walking beside me. And I knew where he came from. There was some gay thing going on down there, you know, the news media term. And so I offered him a gospel tract, and he says, well, I don't think you want to give that to me. I said, oh, yeah, I want to give that to you. And he said, well, I just came from that gay rally over there. I said, oh, I'm a happy person, too. I'm very cheerful, so I'd like you to take the gospel tract. And he said, no, I just don't think, I said, well, I'm gay too. I just told you I'm a very cheerful person. I'm very happy too. Would you please, you know, consider the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives me the happiness. He didn't want to come out and say the truth. You see, people change words because they don't want to say the truth about themselves. And so you play dumb and get them to tell on themselves. He wouldn't go that far. He wouldn't come. What are you trying to tell me? Well, I'm gay. Well, so am I. I'm happy too. What do you mean? Say it. Say it. He can't say it because it will tell the truth about himself. Well, you're straight. Yes, I'm straight. So what are you? Crooked? Are you saying you're gay that I'm not? I'm not happy? That's the whole idea. You see, the devil is master of changing words. Why is it pro-life and pro-choice? It's either pro-life and anti-life or pro-life and pro-death. They're saying pro-choice that we don't have a choice. No, I believe in choice. It says I don't like what you choose. You see, and that's the whole idea of it. They're taking the choice away. You see, but words mean things. And God is a master of words, and so is the devil. He's not going to call something and come right out and say, I want to happen is I want you to die a horrible death. No, he's going to make things look good. So that's why the word gay is chosen for that lifestyle. They're not gay. They're not happy people. If you get talking to them, they're not happy people. Just look on their face. You see? But that's a symptom of society. That's a symptom. The media is not trying to get you and I to accept it. They want you and I to promote it and pay for it. That's what they're doing. You see, the media, when this is socially acceptable, that's when God blew Sodom and Gomorrah off the map. That is a society that's deceived. Years ago, there's a gentleman who wrote, George Orwell, wrote a book called Animal Farm. Some of you may have read Animal Farm. And he was writing about the Soviet Union and writing a story about the Soviet Union. And in the Animal Farm, the animals didn't like what the farmer was doing, so they revolted against the farmer, and the pigs were put in charge. Now, of course, we know why pigs are put in charge, because they're the smartest domestic animal in the world. And if you raised hogs, you know that. So the pigs were put in charge. And throughout the book, if you read the book, it says all animals are equal. All animals are equal. All animals were equal. You get to chapter 10, the pigs say all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Now you think about that. That's what they're trying to tell us. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you are not equal. You can talk about Muhammad and Buddha in a public school, but you cannot talk about Jesus Christ except for a cuss word. You cannot do it. They'll take the kids to the Dalai Lama, public taxpayer money. They'll let them in California to dress up as Muslims. But you cannot mention Jesus Christ. That is forbidden. That he is censored. You see why he's not equal. They don't want him. This is the difference between tolerance and respect. You see, as a believer, we have to tolerate these things, but yet we stand up against them and stay true to them. Stay true to God. Now, this idea of being accepted by God. People have a desire in their heart to be accepted. And when they desire to be accepted, a child is a natural thing that a child wants to be accepted by mom and dad. That's a natural thing. But when we try to seek our acceptance from people, people are fickle. An athlete will tell you this. You go to a ball game, one inning, the guy's a hero. The next inning, he's a bum. Throw him out. Now, if we seek our acceptance from somebody whose opinion means something, how about being accepted by God? The first thought I want to give you is God accepts an undeserving, repentant sinner through Jesus Christ. That's how you get accepted by God. It's when you know you're not deserving and you're a repentant sinner and you come to Jesus Christ. Okay, as a referee or an umpire judges the offenses of athletes, so God judges the offenses of men. As a referee cannot and refuses to forgive an offense of an athlete, God cannot and will refuse to forgive most people. Why? They're not coming his way. If a referee blew the whistle on an athlete for committing a foul and the athlete said, "Well, I'm a Christian. God loves me, and God is a God of love, and would you please forgive me?" If that referee said, "Oh, I'm a Christian too, and God is love. Yes, God forgives everybody," he is going to have a screaming audience because he's not doing what he's supposed to be. I mean, did you see the video that Jason Hines had of Canada where everybody thinks God's going to forgive everybody? even including Hitler? That is a society that's deceived. Now, foolish people believe that God is going to accept everybody. But God doesn't. Record in the Bible, if you would, look in Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah 14 is... Jeremiah is one of the final major prophets of Judah before Judah is conquered by Babylon. And the people, the mindset of the average Jew in Judah at this time, you'll read it through Jeremiah, you can see their mindset. It's very, very similar to the American mindset. Jeremiah 14, verse 10, thus saith the Lord unto this people. Okay, here's what Jeremiah actually had to preach publicly in the streets. He wasn't allowed in a synagogue. So out in front of the temple, he'd be saying things like this. Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. Look at that. God will not accept them. He says he will not now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. What a statement. A lot of times we'll ask prayer for somebody for the salvation of their soul. God, please pray for them. Pray for their good. And in this case, God said to Jeremiah, he said, don't waste time praying for them. I'm not going to listen to you. That's a society that's pretty far gone. These people think that God's going to accept them. God says, nope, I'm not going to accept you. In fact, I'm going to remember your sins. And say, hey, Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. Don't pray for their good. Pray that everything just falls apart. Don't say to them, Jeremiah, have a good day. Say, I hope you have a rotten day until you meet Jesus Christ. Then you'll have a good day. Say something like that. That's a different side of God, isn't it? It says, verse 12, when they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Oh boy, wouldn't that be a rough side of God? Oh, they've been listening to Dr. Dry as Dust, and he says that we're going to have a wonderful time. Verse 13, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus said the Lord, Concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed, and the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Different side of God, isn't it? No, God doesn't accept everyone. You see, people say, well, I'm gay and God loves me too. No, you're a pervert and God don't like your sin. I mean, that's what they are. Well, I'm sincere and God will accept me. No, if you were sincere, you'd admit your sin. Well, I'm religious and God will accept me. You may be religious, but you're not righteous. And God will only accept righteousness. God did not accept Cain's sacrifice. The first man born, Adam and Eve. Firstborn son, Cain. Nextborn, Abel. Cain was the one that brought up the idea, hey, we need to offer a sacrifice to God. Abel said, oh, okay, probably a good idea. Cain gets out, you know, all his grapes from the vine tree. He gets out the turnips. He gets out all his fruit. He got his fruit store over here. Cain's over there, puts it on an altar. Abel's over here. He gets out a lamb and he sacrifices a lamb and puts it on the altar. And lightning comes down and strikes Abel's altar. accepts his sacrifice, and Cain's over there squeezing a turnip as quick as he can, is trying to get blood to come out of there. He's going, oh, domini, it was liquor, now it's blood, oh, domini, and God just ignored him. He looks over to Abel and said, he gets mad, and God intervenes here, and God says, in Genesis, look at Genesis 4, verse 7, God said to Cain, God was in the mix of that thing, and he said, Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain was mad. He said, Cain, art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, if what you did was well, I would accept it, but it's not well. I don't accept it. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Sin what? Sin offering, Cain. Your offering is right at the door. Just, Cain, just walk over to Abel. He's got another lamb over here. He'll be glad to give you the lamb. You can take the lamb and put it on. Here, just take all this fruit. Put that off. Put that, you know, take that stuff off there. And he says, and just take that lamb that Abel is willing to give you and put it on there, and I'll accept that. Cain wouldn't do it. My religion's just as good as his. You're supposed to accept mine too. I'm sincere. You know, I'm religious. And then he says, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain talked with Abel his brother, and came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Cain's religion has been killing Abel's religion ever since. Nothing has changed on that. You get out on the street, you can talk to Cain's followers. I can introduce you to them, and then you can tell them the same thing God told Cain, and watch the reaction. Hasn't changed. You see, God did not accept Cain. Now, God's method of acceptance in the Old Testament is found in Leviticus 1:4, and it's just the way Abel did it, is he offered up a lamb for a sacrifice. That lamb became a substitute for the individual. That was God's method in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's not a four-legged lamb. It's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. In the New Testament, if you would look in Ephesians chapter 1, the way God accepts people in the New Testament is through the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 down to verse 6, it's all one sentence. It's one. That's the context. But in verse 6 it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In the New Testament, when you hear the gospel story of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that Jesus Christ is holy and I am not, and when you place your faith and accept, and it says, this gospel is worthy of all acceptation. When you accept that gospel, when a sinner accepts God's Son, God makes that sinner an acceptable saint. God does that. That's God's part. That's called justification. Where God, a justification is a legal decree. Okay, it's a legal decree. A lot of times people don't realize that when a judge says something, that don't mean really anything. He can't enforce it. A judge can hold you in contempt, and he's just saying words. He has to have a deputy with a gun to make you do something. If the deputy would be lawful and say, judge, go fly a kite, nothing can be done. But it's a decree. Now, when the judge of the universe declares something, that's got power behind it. So when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith, the judge of the universe says, I declare you sinless. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It would seem weird, but actually you could wear a t-shirt that says, I am as righteous as Jesus Christ. That'd be a tough thing to wear. But you could. But then you'd have to try to convince people that, no, not you. I know I'm a sinner, but you know, because of my record in heaven, I'm righteous as Jesus Christ, you know, because that's what the Bible says, and I believe it, you know, and so I'm accepted by God. And then they'll argue with you from then on out, and you try to tell them about that great doctrine. Oh, what a doctrine that is. Being accepted. You see, God accepts an undeserving, repentant sinner through Jesus Christ. And when you recognize that great doctrine, you don't really need anybody else's acceptance. It's nice, but you can tell what you do right because God has accepted it himself. What a joy that is. And it's a very sad thing. A lot of people live their lives where they're trying to get somebody's approval or acceptance, their parents. Maybe their parents weren't good, people or whatnot. And they're living their life doing everything they possibly can to be accepted. The Bible said, when my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And you can rest in that fact that the God of the universe has accepted me because I came to his son. Oh, it'd be nice if other people would accept that too. You see? And there's a lot of folks that got saved maybe later in life and they had the mistaken notion that, oh, they're happy now because they came to Christ. And their mistaken notion is that, oh, I'm going to tell my family members and they're going to be happy for me. And they discover it's not true. They're not happy for you. And they're not accepted. But you see, God accepts an undeserving repentant sinner through Jesus Christ. Now, the step up from that is God approves of a son who adamantly adores his words. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus Christ said, okay, maybe you're a born-again child of God. Jesus Christ said this, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. A God's child who has been accepted by God, who spends time in this book, much time. If you would total up the time you watch TV or a news broadcast or read a newspaper, and if that totals more than this book, then God's approval rating is not real high. We got to be fanatic about this book. You see, God approves. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why I make such a big deal about this book. Spending time in this book. Now, when a person does spend a lot of time in this book, at least more than he reads the newspaper, and actually believes it more than you believe the newspaper. Can you imagine that? Well, I saw on TV, it has to be true. It's in a book. In this book, it's true. Now, when a man does that, then what they can do after, okay, a person who's accepted the Lord, and now they're accepted by God, and they thought their family would be happy for them, and they try talking to their family, and their family rejects them, but yet they rest in the fact they're accepted by God, so what do we want to do with our family? Don't give up on them. We want to pray for them. And then what we do is we spend time in this book and get approved of God. You know what God will do? He will accept our prayers now. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, God said to Abraham, I accept your prayer. Genesis 19, verse 21. What the story was is Abraham was praying for his backslidden nephew named Lot. Lot had moved into the city of Sodom, like San Francisco, and he became an elected official in that culture. He was a judge. And in Genesis 19, verse 21, it says, and he said unto him, this is God and Abraham talking. He said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. They had a discussion about, God told Abraham, hey, I'm going to, say that Sodom and Gomorrah over there, I'm going to blow it off the map. Nuclear warhead's coming down, sulfur's coming out, I'm going to torch it. Abraham, who? I got a nephew living in there. Married, got four girls. Hey, if there's 50 in that town, you going to blow it up? No, I won't do 50. How about 45? No, I won't do 40. How about 40? No, I won't do it for 30? Nope, won't do it for 30. 20? Not even 20. One last shot. 10? I won't destroy if there were 10. Okay, so Abraham, okay, Lot, Mrs. Lot, four girls, two girls married, so I got, I got eight there. They've gotten to witness somebody. They've gotten to get two people. I mean, they've been in town for a while. Come on, they got to have that. He should have went down to 5. Wouldn't even got 5. 4 walked out of town. 1 became pillar of salt. 3 survived. Why did they survive it? Was it because of Lot? Oh, it's because of Abraham. God accepted Abraham's prayers because of Lot. In fact, if you read the story, the angels actually dragged Lot out. So while he lingered, they grabbed him and took him out. If it wasn't for Abraham's prayers, Lot would have been torched. You see? And that's where when we become approved of God, our prayers are accepted. In the book of Job, if you know the story of Job, Job had 10 children, died, lost everything he had. And he still blessed God in the process. And then his 3 friends showed up. And his 3 friends basically comforted him by saying, your children died because they were wicked. And you're suffering all these things because you are the devil incarnate. Why don't you just admit it, Job? Which is what they were saying. And when it was all said and done, then God spoke to Job and God spoke to those 3 guys. He said, hey, pals. He said, Job was right. You were wrong. And you better ask Job to offer a sacrifice, because I'm not going to accept you guys. I will accept him. Now, if you were in Job's position, lost 10 children, 10 people, 10 kids been put in a funeral home, 10 caskets, and somebody told you at the funeral home that they died because they were wicked, would you want to pray nice things for them? Now, Job did offer a sacrifice, and God did accept his sacrifice for the 3 fellas. And here's Job's thinking. What was his thinking? Job 23:12 says this, neither have I gone back from thy commandments. I have esteemed thy words. I have esteemed thy words more than my necessary food. Job 23:12. He was approved by God. You see, God approves of a son who adamantly adores the written word of God. You need to study this book. Why? To please God, not to impress men. Spend time in this book because you want to figure out every little way that you could please that God and figure out and understand the mindset of the God of this Bible so that you might draw closer to Him. That's our motive. To be accepted by God is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be approved by God is to come to that book. Spend time alone in that book. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be people that want to seek your approval. By chance, if someone here has not been accepted by you by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where it starts. And you will accept any unrepentant or any repentant, undeserving sinner that will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him. Trust in him. Accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. At that moment, they are accepted in the beloved. What a great doctrine, a great promise. And after that, Lord, I pray each and every one of us would now spend time in the Word of God so that we might understand you better. Understand your thinking. Understand your likes, your dislikes. Understand what you believe. And while we understand more of what you believe, then we can pray more effectively for the ones who have not accepted what we believe. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be people that want to be approved of you. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, the instruments will play, the altar is open. To be accepted by God is to come through His Son. To be approved by God is to spend much time in the Scriptures. Say, how much time? Well, you can't really say how much time. But definitely more time than you do reading newspaper and watching the news and all that stuff. And times where you spend more time in it than you do watching a ball game. Americans have so many time-saving devices, they don't got time to read your Bible. One of the funniest things I heard was a kid in a county jail down in Jasper County told me he didn't have time to read the Bible. I looked at him and laughed. Go kid somebody else. I know the Bible is just going to sit there. But that's how we're approved by God. Study. Study, 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 study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, you got to work at it, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Proper divisions. To be accepted by God is to come to his Son. To be approved of God is to come to his word, the scriptures. Lord, I do pray you'd help us recognize this great truth. Help us to seek your acceptance first and foremost through salvation and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is worthy. He is worthy of all acceptation. And then, show them about your blessed book and how we need to spend time in it so we can be approved of you. In Jesus' name, amen.